Today on our Tech for Business podcast, Nate, our Director of Cybersecurity, joins us to talk all things VPNs, why they're outdated, and what the next steps may be. So welcome, Nate. Thanks for taking time with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And this is kind of a topic that was near and dear to your heart. We have talked about it before, but it's coming back up in the news. People are searching it. People are asking. Can you give us a quick, why are VPNs moving out? What are some of the biggest security risks that we're seeing with VPNs?
Yeah, this is something that isn't necessarily new. Like, we've been talking ZTNA solutions, which Zero Trust Network Access solutions, for quite some time now. Typically, these have been at the enterprise level, right? So you're talking pretty high-end solutions. But what we're seeing is that it has continually to work its way down into the small and medium business space and have become quite cost-effective, even for a small business. So the difference between like a traditional VPN and one of these ZTNA solutions, I'll get into quite a few of the other acronyms that are associated with it, is in a traditional VPN, you have an appliance or some type of virtual appliance sitting on your network, listening for network connections. And so what you typically do is on your firewall, you open up a hole into the public internet and say, any requests coming in from the public internet, if you're trying to get access to the corporate network, it's going to pass through that hole. And then you have your VPN appliance that is going to listen for those network connections, and someone will log in through that and then be able to grant access to the internal resources within your environment, file shares, applications, whatever it may be. Sometimes those are separate appliances. Sometimes it's just built into the firewall itself. But the point still stands is there's an open hole on the public internet where someone can prod and poke, and it's always listening for a new connection. The difference between that and a new like ZTNA solution is you still have something inside your network listening for connections, but you don't have a hole open up on the outside of your firewall. So essentially what we're doing is we're darkening your network and makes it just not visible to a degree. And the way it works is you still have your end user with software installed on their device. You still have the thing listening inside of your network, but it kind of brokers a connection up to that provider's cloud. And so when your user says, I need to connect to the VPN, it will call up to that provider's cloud, make the connection, and then it will securely make a tunnel back into your environment. But anyone who is just scanning the public internet looking for something to try and brute force or exploit, there's nothing exposed there. So the security risks are greatly diminished with these newer solutions.
When you say that, it makes it sound like, wow, I should really just get rid of VPNs altogether. Like, that should be what I'm doing. Is there...
That's the goal.
Is there a world in which you shouldn't? Or is there a situation in which you keep a VPN?
There are some cases where I do see individuals keeping it around.
Sure.
I don't love it. And I am continually trying to work with those to find alternative solutions.
Yeah.
But probably the most common reason why I see VPNs needing to remain in place, like your traditional, not site-to-site VPNs, just someone connecting in, is going to be in a school. And the reason why is oftentimes they are still using some type of on-premise video camera system or, DVR system, and they need to allow police access to their cameras in the event of an emergency. And so there's typically a VPN tunnel that the police have access to. So again, active shooter situation, whatever it may be, police can log in, figure out what's going on in that school district, and then approach the situation as be. So how do you grant access to those resources. You know, typically when you move to a ZTNA solution, you're licensing it by the user itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so your police might always be shifting, you know, who's on deck at the time. And then also typically those are external entities needing to access. So they typically don't have an account in your environment. So that's the main challenge. There are ways around it, but there's a couple different approaches, right? You can either update the camera system to something that's more cloud-based, you know, kind of a shameless plug. I know we have a pass for Kata, you know, the podcast, if you want to go learn more about that solution. When you approach a situation like that, we do see a lot of schools, they'll just share a link to all their cameras and the police can just access a link without having to VPN in.
Sure. Okay. So for today's discussion, we'll kind of focus on the businesses that we feel really should be getting rid of the VPN. But thank you for going on a little tangent, because that's the first thing that kind of comes to mind is, why is this still around? So thank you. Let's talk a little bit about VPNs and growing your business and what that expense looks like and sort of what we're going to be replacing it with.
Yeah, so the way VPNs are typically licensed is they'll look at concurrent users. Mm-hmm. So when you are licensing a firewall for those VPN accesses, rather than licensing everyone, you're typically saying, I need about 10 users on average, always connected to the VPN. Maybe it's scaled up. You know, when COVID happened, we saw the companies having to pay for like spike licenses because everyone was all of a sudden working from home. So that's typically how those are expensed. Now, some of the challenges come in when you have multiple locations. So in a traditional VPN kind of deployment or, you know, business environment, you will have either your sites are going to be independent or you will see them interconnected with a site-to-site VPN. And so then you'll tunnel everyone into one main location and then they can move laterally to the others. Now, again, you're talking to a security individual on this call. There are risks with site-to-site VPNs. There's benefits as well. I'm not discrediting that. But if someone comes in through the VPN and it's wide open on the internal network, they can move across everything as well. So sometimes organizations will treat their sites independent as well to say, let's say I have a plant out in California and I have a plant out in New York. Employees should be able to access their respective files, you know, or file shares that are over there. Maybe they're independent. So now you have two VPNs and now you have to pay for two of them. You have to pay for the hardware to be able to put in the appliance and the licensing as well. So as organizations get bigger and bigger and bigger, now they're paying for multiple systems and the complexity also increases, the maintenance increases, all that type of stuff. When you move to a ZTNA solution, typically, these are designed for highly scalable environments. So what you do is, again, you pay for the platform, pay for the users that you need to have access. And then if you ever need to add a new site, we just deploy a new like virtual sensor. Typically, those are either free or just bundled in. My favorite solutions, I won't pick on names right now because I'm trying to remain agnostic to just general ZTNA solutions, is when you buy the package, it comes with, I think it's 20 different connectors. So think of like a site, right? So you can put all these little VPN connectors all over the network. And now I'm readily able to scale for a very cost-effective way of approaching it, right? I don't have to buy firewalls. And so the other thing is going to be for mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. So we know that right now, as there's kind of a lot of changes in the economy and all that type of stuff, we do see a lot of mergers and acquisitions happening. And vendor consolidation. So as this happens, one of the big benefits of these ZTNA solutions is you can quickly grant access to your, you know, other company or subsidiary that you had acquired, and without having to fully mesh a network together. Mm-hmm. So typically, if you acquire a company, it's how can we get all their servers on our network? How do we can move all the, you know, PCs and make it one single entity? And that's a lot of time and effort. And what will happen is now you're spending a lot of time just to get business really flowing between the two companies. In these ZTNA solutions, you could say, well, hey, let's take one of those connectors, put it at our subsidiary. Let's also take in a connector, put it at the parent company, and grant access two ways. So those that are in the subsidiary, if there's a critical application, like let's say billing at the parent company, they can access the billing system. If the parent company needs to go access the engineering software at the subsidiary, well, grant access to the just that one application. Now you don't need to blend the two networks together to get business kind of the initial flow going. So it can actually be a big operational benefit along the way as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, you know, if you are a company that does plan to go through acquisition or you are doing those types of things, it might be beneficial to take the steps now to be getting rid of that VPN because it's going to save you time later, right? To then get that new company onto your network. I mean, rather than going the other way, I would imagine. If you're acquiring mm-hmm. someone and you have a VPN and now you have to set all of that stuff up, seems like a lot more work. That's a lot more lift.
It's also one of the things that I would recommend taking a look at when you're doing a security assessment of the company before mm-hmm. you acquire them, right? Maybe. Yeah. So one of the common sayings CIT has is make sure those that you do business with meet or exceed your own security standards, right? I won't go pick on national data breaches too hard, but you acquire a company, they mm-hmm. fail to implement MFA, and it leads to one of the biggest national data breaches, right? Should you do your vendor due diligence? Let's say you've moved on to the ZTNA solutions and you are acquiring a company that still has a traditional VPN, right? There is inherent risk there to your company. And so if you can replace that, meet them with your traditional ZTNA solution, then at that point, you're going to be in a much better security posture and ready for that final acquisition. The one other thing I think I forgot to say this before about VPNs. So in the past, it was typically just, actually, there's been a couple of iterations. I'll go back to about 2018 at this point. It was 2018 and before, people typically mm-hmm. had just remote desktop open to the public internet. Really typically pose that much of a security risk until they did. Then it was brute force like no other. Then people said, hey, let's put this behind a VPN because then that open remote desktop connection is invisible. You know, people don't know what the critical assets are behind it. So then people did that. And then we started seeing the rise of, you know, additional phishing attacks, you know, against the VPNs and compromised passwords. So now insurance says, well, no, now you have to put multi-factor behind it or on the VPN as well. So now you have users that are doing the username, the password, the multi-factor, then they're able to get in. Well, now we keep finding that there's zero-day exploits against the VPNs to just bypass all of that authentication. We see what they call MFA bombing or MFA fatigue. So we have customers in the past that I've looked at their MFA prompts, you know, and their logs. Some of them are getting brute forced almost 100,000 times a day, right? They don't notice because it's not actively sending a prompt off to the user. But if you look in the logs, it is just attack after attack after attack. Someone just trying to, what they call credential stuffing against mm-hmm. the VPN until it eventually pops a credential. And if it's successful, great, they're in. And now you have basically given them full access to your environment. So that is the path of all the iterations that we've seen. And so now we're getting to the ZTNA, which again is just the remove it from the public internet altogether.
Right.
We're going to go that direction.
Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to go into more details about the better security of these new solutions, but I also have a question about compliance. You know, is there going to come a point in which if you are heavily regulated industry that it's expected to get rid of VPNs? You know, what does that journey look like?
Yeah, I definitely think it's coming. I mean, mm-hmm. in the, I kind of hate the word zero trust because I think it's often abused in some of the marketing language, but it is a actual ideology, right?
Right.
And so we've had plenty of conversations about that. But we did see, was it 2020, 2021 now, is the federal government pushed out the executive order at the time saying, you know, improving the nation's cybersecurity and, you know, it's essentially zero trust initiatives. Now, that only applies to federal agencies, but we do see that the government is continually moving towards these tighter controls, and ZTNA is part of that zero trust initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So long term, I do believe we will see, you know, if you want to maybe, let's pick on CMMC, right? It's a direct line to DoD manufacturing, is maybe in the future, you do see this is a requirement if you're going to access our critical stuff. Today, on like insurance and everything like that, we don't see that. It's still typically the multi-factor. There are some compliance frameworks that are significantly behind, and there's some proposed changes coming out, and they're finally requiring multi-factor on some network side of things. So they're about 5 years behind at least. So I think you're going to have to wait another 10 years on some of them before you ever even see the concept of a ZTNA network access solution.
Right. That's wild how slow that is, but, you know, sometimes how it is, unfortunately, but it's best to kind of get in on the ground floor and get these things mm-hmm. changed now rather than when you're expected to, I guess, required to.
I think it's an important reminder that compliance does not mean security.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. So let's talk a little bit more practical. So we've convinced everybody we're going to make this switch. So how much of a lift is this switch going to be if I'm transitioning now to this ZTNA?
Yeah. To be honest, it's not that hard, which is the exciting thing, right? There's a
yay.
Yeah, there's the tools in security that get me excited are the ones that make the user experience better and are not overly complicated. They're easy to sustain, right? Security, we're typically seen as the bad people, right? The ones that try and make everyone's life harder. So when you find a solution that actually enhances the user experience, those are really exciting, right? We've talked about passwordless in the past,
yeah.
And that's another one that gets me really excited. Identity and access management and single sign-on and all that, again, really is my favorite parts of security, right? Because the user experience. ZTNA solutions are similar to that. So when you are implementing a VPN, right, sometimes they are tied to the actual physical firewall mm-hmm. in your environment. So how do you implement that? Well, maybe you have to bring down the network to put a new one in, right? So there's operational downtime, you know, and what happens if it's not publicly available? Well, now you have to, you know, start looking at, you know, maybe DNS issues or, you know, so there's a lot of stuff like that. What happens if you're trying to transition from, you know, like one to the other? Well, maybe now you have, I've done this in the past, is, well, hey, we had vpn.company domain, but now you have to go to vpn2.company domain because we wanted to make sure that we are running both simultaneously to limit potential downtime, Now you have user training issues, right? There's a lot of issues that come with transitioning traditional VPNs. With ZTNA solutions, the software is there. It's up in the cloud. You do all your policy configurations up there. All the sensors behind the scenes, you just deploy them into your environment wherever you need them to go. Again, you're not changing how network is flowing through your firewall or anything like that. And then you just add the couple users, configure the policies to make sure that you're granting access to the applications, making sure data is flowing. You test it with a couple users or so, make sure everything appears to be working. And then at that point, you just say, hey, everyone, on your desktop, we've pushed out the software. Go ahead, log into there and turn off your traditional VPN. Try and access the same resources that you're used to. Can you get to them, right? And if they can get to them, great. Move over to that. Stop using the traditional VPN. We're going to plan, you know, to disable it, you know, let's say a month down the road or whatever it is. And then eventually you just turn it off and everyone's completely cut over. So all the setup of these traditional, you know, of these ZTNA solutions can be done behind the scenes. And that's exciting because you're not bringing down networks along the way.
Right, for sure. So, I mean, if it is so easy, where do people get tripped up? I mean, what are those common mistakes or challenges that a team might face?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing is oftentimes people don't know what their employees are accessing, which can be its own security risk in itself.
Yeah.
Right. You know, kind of the principle of least privilege is the way VPNs are typically set up in a less security conscious environment is you set it up and everyone has full access behind the firewall, right? They treat the VPN as the demark of trust, right? Once you hit that VPN, we fully trust if you can pass through that authentication.
Yeah.
In the ZTNA solutions, the whole point is zero trust network access. Mm-hmm. And so once you authenticate, now instead of just saying you have access to everything, typically you're saying, well, you know, this department might need access to these resources. Maybe this one individual needs access to this application. And so you have to kind of map that out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So here at CIT, for example, we'll have maybe our finance team needs access to one application. Our security team might need access to a different application. And so we've created just separate application access. And if you don't know what your teams are accessing today, that's going to be the biggest hang up. So before you go to a ZTNA solution, just go to each department, right? Hey, on a day-to-day basis, what are you accessing the VPN for? You'll probably find some deep commonalities. You know, maybe if you're still running file shares on site, if you have some type of on-premise application that is critical to the business, right? So there's a lot of things that you might be able to quickly identify.
Mm-hmm.
But you might find a couple little things that you maybe even forgot about along the way. So,
which is not bad to go back and kind of assess a little bit, like who truly needs this access, you know, having that audit is not bad to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest hang up usually is as you start trying to build the policies of how access will flow, you have to know what you have before you can protect it, right? So, and that kind of gets back to the NIST cybersecurity framework. We've talked about that in the past is you need to first identify what you have, then you can protect it, then, you know, detect, respond, recover for post-security incident.
Yeah. So from the user end, these solutions seem pretty, I mean, I'm not going to see too much of a difference, you know? My access is going to be, for all purposes, the same, right?
Yeah. So the access should remain the same as long as your administrators have configured it properly. I think, again, getting back to what makes me excited for these security tools is the user experience I believe, actually increases. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is in a traditional VPN, the probably the most common frustration I ever hear with the VPNs is whenever my computer goes to sleep, you know, Windows or Mac or whatever, it stops my network connection. It breaks that VPN tunnel. When I come back to it, it tries to re-authenticate and I have to do my multi-factor prompt again. Mm. And so if you are a user that likes to get up often, right, go grab the next mm-hmm. cup of coffee, go to the bathroom, maybe you have kids in the background that are constantly needing attention, you are regularly putting in your multi-factor just to stay working throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. I've been there. The other thing is going to be like, you know, password changes, right? Is, okay, well, my password changed and now I'm not connected to the network anymore. So how do I access the VPN to be able to update my password? So that's a major challenge. And so with the ZTNA solutions, because you don't have any access to the public internet, what organizations tend to do is say, well, hey, we don't need to authenticate you like every single day anymore, because that application will maintain its access even when the computer goes to sleep, or, you know, if you do a reboot on it, it'll come in and automatically reconnect back into your environment as long as nothing has changed. Like once your password changes, maybe it'll reprompt you again, right?
Yeah.
So we see a lot of organizations will say, well, hey, maybe, you know, either once a day or sometimes we'll see once a week. So you come in on a Monday, you do your initial authentication if you need access to the VPN, and then it just maintains that throughout the week. And then there's a session timeout at the end that says by Saturday morning, you're probably not working. It severs it because there's a max duration. And then by the time you come in on Monday morning again, you do it again. And you're good again for the next day or week or whatever the timeline that your administrators set up. Mm-hmm. So the user experience is significantly greater. You can move from being prompted 10 times a day to once a week.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then on the IT and cybersecurity side of it, is there a lot of maintenance or upkeep or monitoring or anything like that that's different than a VPN?
Typically, once it's set up, it's very low maintenance.
Right.
The most common item that I need to go dig into is going to be the odd cases where someone says, hey, I'm not able to access this application. So, sure. And it's usually because we've moved away from the everyone has access to everything to you only have access to this one particular application. So maybe there's a user in a new role that needs access to the application, I have to go add them to the policy. Or once you get further into the maturity of this ZTNA solution beyond just implementing it, you can do device posture checks as well. So things like, is the device on the latest version of Windows or Mac? Is it running your known EDR solutions?
Right.
And if it's not, don't grant access. So. And then all of a sudden someone comes in and says, I can't access it. You have to go look at the logs and just say, oh, well, you didn't get access to logs because your brand new personal device wasn't running our corporate security software, right? So those are the cases that you tend to fall into, but usually they remain connected. You don't have to touch much of the back end configuration.
Right. And I mean, we can go on a tangent or not, but it sort of comes back to cybersecurity is not in a silo anymore, because now there's a conversation with HR about who needs access to what, or if we changed a role, or if someone got promoted or someone got hired. You know, it becomes a team effort to make sure that everyone is getting the things that they need, which is, I mean, great. I think that's a way better way for a business to run.
This comes into the maturity.
Yes.
But one of my favorite things about going down the identity path, which I think we've done a couple of those. I would love to even revisit those.
Yeah.
But down the identity path, you could say HR, when you update your HRIS system and say someone is in a new role or a new title or whatever it is, it goes, pushes downstream to all of your applications. Now your VPN solution, as long as it's synced to your identity provider, whether it's something like Azure, Okta, Active Directory, those tools can then automatically update the user role and, you know, groups and departments. And so all of the policies, if you've defined it as maybe this department or this user group gets access to an application, as soon as HR makes a change on their end, it'll automatically change it downstream as well. So
yeah,
very, very powerful automation that you can bring in.
Yeah, that's amazing. And definitely maybe something we discuss on a different podcast, all the amazing possibilities that these tools provide. So that's great. To kind of close out, is there anything we didn't cover, anything you want to touch on? And then kind of my final question is, how is the future of this system going to change? Like, is everyone going to implement these new ZTNA solutions and then have to change again or adapt again in 5 years? What does that look like?
Yeah. I think the one thing that we didn't cover is I kind of started the conversation with these have become more cost effective, right? As
you
move from enterprise level solutions down to the SMB,
tend
to operate a little more expensive than your traditional VPN. So if you haven't looked at any of those, you know, solutions yet, again, give CIT a call. We have a couple different solutions, but they tend to operate a little more expensive. So you'll have to do some type of future budgeting if you don't already have it in your budget today. But again, oftentimes you have to just take a look at what's the licensing cost versus the labor cost, because oftentimes you're spending labor cost trying to always authenticate to the VPN, fighting some of those challenges that maybe some of that licensing cost can take care of if you just were to transition, or things like the hardware costs that are associated with those, right? Is you don't have any more hardware costs when you move to a ZTNA solution. So what does the, you know, the amortized value of those hardware components compare to, right? So, so that's one topic to consider. And then to your point about the looking forward into the future, I don't think we're going to be replacing these solutions in 5 years, right? If I were to look forward, I think we've got at least 5 to 10 at the moment, right? Maybe I'm completely wrong on that because tech changes so fast these days, but I'd say 5 to 10 is my initial estimate before maybe another solution or, you know, the component comes out. I think what we're going to see is over the first 5 years, we're really going to see the adoption of the ZTNA solutions in the SMB space.
Sure.
And then over the next 5 to 10, we'll see really the further implementation and the maturity of let's do more of the continuous evaluation and things like, you know, again, making sure that user is still active in HR. Let's make sure that they're still running the known security software that we're pushing out to that device, limiting, you know, maybe personal device access or putting them in separate groups. So I think that's where we'll see that 5 to 10 year range is the solutions remain, but it's how mature do you bring them? Similar to what we saw really VPNs in the past was VPN. Now we see some of the additional access rules, multi-factor, and now we've just replaced that solution for the most part.
Yeah, kind of honing it in the next however many years. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time out.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com. Or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.